I is the difference. What actually is self-realization? In the deepest sense, I do not know what it is. It cannot be known. It cannot be spoken. Words don't reach here. However, through the centuries, many masters have applied words to it in countless scriptures. This mystical expression resounds in your heart and leads you to the unknowable spaciousness that you are. The words point out the direction and help to recall essence. Words such as truth, freedom, peace, love, and wisdom. But what is essence? What meaning can it really have? Can you say more about that? We obtain meaning from the mind. The word mind is derived from the Sanskrit manas, that which measures and compares. This measuring standpoint that we call I, in reference to which everything is defined and compared, needs to be seen as illusionary. I, which is a thought in itself, is the difference between ignorance and freedom, between unrest and calm, between suffering and peace. One needs to see there is no I and no you, no I in the world, no inside and no outside, only indivisible one. This view is so deep, neither understanding nor experience approaches it. Here the word is stilled. Unwaveringly anchor yourself in this realization and just be present, with a clear mind and overflowing heart. Is this insight self-realization? Self-realization is not an insight. No matter how deep or how wide your insight, this is still not self-realization. In self-realization, all insights are consumed. Be prey for God. Sacrifice your insights and allow yourself to be devoured. Realization is an ultimate moment of grace, where knowledge evaporates and sacred wisdom reveals itself. So even the highest insight is not realization. There is still a sense of I, who has such sublime insights and has received mystical revelations. The experience of subject-object, the feeling of here and there, me and you, this and that, is still there. Could you elaborate further? The sense of witnessing is still there. There remains a notion of a witness, of that which is witnessed, and the witnessing itself. That triangle is still there. All of this needs to evaporate, to burn up or implode. Little by little, you will come to see that everything is empty. You realize that all thoughts are empty, all feelings are empty, all manifestation is empty, including what sees and the seeing itself. You have to go through this experience of emptiness and subsequently see that emptiness is also a concept, transparent and illusionary. Emptiness is a concept. God is a concept. Self-realization is a concept. When you realize this, is it also a revelation? Yes. So subtle. Does the duality of observer and observed then dissolve? The sense of observer evaporates altogether. And what then? Every description falls short, but some words offer you a flavor of it. Openness, clarity, naturalness, availability. You just live your life as life itself. Is that revelation the Big Bang? The Big Bang is a myth. People expect some kind of explosion in their awakening. It can happen, but it doesn't have to. Sometimes you hardly notice it, and you are aware of slowly being gathered up into what you have always been. your sadhana can be like a long walk in the morning mist. Only after coming home do you feel how thoroughly drenched you are. Does it happen differently for everyone? Indeed, realization is unique for everyone, and everyone's sadhana is unique. So personal testament is always a little delicate because people are inclined to think, oh, that's how it is. That's how it goes. That's the way it has to be. Did you live through exceptional moments during your inner journey? Yes. Grand revelations, especially the first 3 years with Alexander, when I received the teaching. Lots of knowledge and many insights. And also later with Shanti Mai, when everything was gradually rounded off. There was a long period when all was clear to me, but still something was not quite there. I knew that something was missing, although I didn't know precisely what that was. For years, I waited for that. I learned what patience is. I discovered that patience knows no time and realized that I only needed to entrust myself to the silence of my heart. Thus, all waiting transformed into a deep bow in the eternal moment now, and all expectations were finally extinguished. What happened after that? For a long time, silence. I was by myself as much as I could be. It was not easy to talk. I couldn't find the words anymore. There was hardly any capacity to form concepts. Everything was so rarefied. Even now, including during satsang, I really have nothing to say. People have to come with topics and questions. Then the words come out like a flood. Their longing to end their suffering brings me into motion. Otherwise, everything falls silent. There is just nothing. It says something about me, not something that necessarily has to do with realization. The Satya lineage is imbued with a strong sense of bodhisattva. Bodhisattvas have a drive and longing to alleviate suffering. They are available for all, and their life and dedication is a great inspiration to realize freedom. You could ask yourself, but what is there to improve in the world? Haven't you seen that everything is illusory? And perfect, exactly as it is. How can there be a longing? To which the bodhisattvas answer, the longing is empty. We serve empty-handed without any expectation, in loving compassion, like a prayer. Is the moment of self-realization the end of the path? For me, yes, a ceiling. Some masters assert that you have not even begun on the path until you are self-realized. Others say self-realization is a deep revelation, and after that the purification begins, where ideas and feelings empty out. In my life, the purification and the insights were first, and then self-realization. Full stop. Were there significant changes during this phase? Yes. There came a sense of total autonomy and a rising authority. An impersonal authority becomes available where every trace of self-consciousness vanishes. This authority is not dominant or suppressing, but uplifting and inspiring. That gave a tiny but essential shift in all areas of my life, as well as in my contact with Shanti Mai. Nevertheless, she remains my guru, merged in love. This was also how Shanti Mai was with her master, Maharaji, as Maharaji too honored what his guru transmitted to him from within. This is something remarkable in the Satya lineage, not at all like the suggestion you often hear in spiritual circles. Okay, guys, good, the job is done. The world doesn't exist, I do not exist, you do not exist. So let's go on holiday. No. You have lived through to the deepest what it means to be a disciple. In the Satya lineage, a disciple is what you remain for the rest of your life, even once mastership has arisen in you. It is a delicate dance. Does a master need to confirm your awakening? No, of course not. Wouldn't you be absolutely certain and unshakable after all? That is the power of doubtlessness and the impersonal authority that resolutely stands up in you. I love the mantra Gate Gate Paragate Parasamgati Bodhisvaha. Translation. Gone, gone, gone all the way over. Everything gone over to the other shore. Awakened, so be it. Is this mantra still relevant after enlightenment? Let's never lose sight of Gate Gate. Before you know it, you start claiming, I am realized. Allow being and not being to go. Then your highest potential will be unlocked, and more abilities will be at your disposal. This can be anything, such as clear feeling, hearing, or knowing with increasing subtlety. However, the highest capacity is unconditional love. This holds everything and opens everything. Let's live on the razor's edge. Let's live in freefall. Living in not knowing. Living not knowingness. What has happened in your life since self-realization? From doing very little, I find myself having a very busy life. It is a continuous stream of satsang, retreats, travelling a good deal, and organisation of all this in the background. Some years ago, we bought a beautiful property in France, a retreat centre where everybody can be charged and inspired. Here, free from the bustle of the world, our companions are contemplation, deep silence, and intensely star-filled nights. Satsang and meditation take place each day. We hold ceremonies and offer prayers dedicated to all beings everywhere. We have a music group that sometimes sounds like a band and at other times like a sacred choir. They bring songs received from many different spiritual traditions around the world. We have introduced permaculture here. We tend organic gardens and restore ancient buildings. Every activity is a meditation in which clear presence and undivided attention are awakened spontaneously. Ideas about work evaporate, and play is found again. Together we are a bubbling pot of new thinking, creativity, and innovation. We laugh a lot, and are deeply silent. All the activity of my present life just moves like a wind through me. I cannot really testify to a deepening over the years. Nothing really changes. It is simply still. People come to satsang, receive teachings and insights. They empty out and awaken. The building blocks for this are the same throughout the centuries. Self-trust, love for truth, sincerity, focus, and perseverance. Little by little, they become lighter, allowing life in all its facets. Patterns, traumas, resistance, and fears dissolve, and the ensuing space is filled with light. Great courage develops, for no longer needing to understand everything. An increasing heartfelt trust. Eventually you surrender to the temple of your heart, where knowledge is silenced and wisdom awakens. This is alchemy, a mystery that simply occurs. During the many years that I was sitting at the feet of the masters, this was for me just the same. Again and again, a moving recognition of truth and visions of ever subtler worlds. There came more and more stillness, and eventually all knowledge, all insight, and the splitting sense of I were wiped away. What grace that the masters were at my side for so many years. How grateful I am for their guidance that laid the way to handing over my life to the light of truth.